In this session, we will take a look at personal allowances and additional allowances available to elderly taxpayers. The personal allowance, currently £6,475 for 2010-11, is available in the first instance to all UK resident individuals, including children. Certain individuals who are not resident in the UK, most notably citizens of the European Union, are also entitled to a personal allowance. As we saw earlier, from 2010-11, where an individual's adjusted net income exceeds £100,000, their personal allowance will be reduced by £1 for every £2 of income above £100,000. From 2010-11, personal allowances will no longer be available to an individual solely because they are a Commonwealth citizen, although most non-resident Commonwealth citizens will still be able to claim the allowance by other means, for example, a double tax treaty.
As mentioned in a previous lecture, a husband and wife are treated as separate persons under independent taxation, and each will therefore receive a personal allowance to set against their own personal income.
A blind person's allowance for 2010-11 of £1,890 is available to reduce statutory total income of a registered blind person in the UK. Finally, taxpayers over the age of 65 may receive an age-related personal allowance.
These are higher personal allowances than those given to the under-65s. All of the above allowances are contained within the tax tables included with this course.
For taxpayers aged 65 or over at the end of the tax year, an increased personal allowance of £9,490 is available for 2010-11. This means that the taxpayer who becomes 65 at some point during the tax year will be entitled to the age-related allowances. If the taxpayer is 75 or over at the end of the tax year, the age-related allowance goes up to £9,640. These increased age allowances are given instead of the normal personal allowance of £6,475. Like the normal personal allowances, these age-related allowances are deducted from net income in order to arrive at taxable income and are deducted from non-savings income in priority to interest and dividends. There is, however, a complication. Personal age allowances are restricted if a taxpayer's adjusted net income exceeds a specified income ceiling, which for 2010-11 is £22,900. For example, take a taxpayer aged between 65 and 75 who is entitled to a personal age allowance of £9,490. If this taxpayer's adjusted net income exceeds £22,900, we reduce his age allowances by £1 for every £2 of income over and above the ceiling. We do this by deducting the formula 1/2 multiplied by adjusted net income minus £22,900 from the personal age allowance of £9,490. This will give us the personal age allowance to which the individual is actually entitled. One important thing to note here is that if a taxpayer has adjusted net income of not more than £100,000, the personal age allowances can never fall below the normal personal allowance of £6,475. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Arthur is 73, and he has the following income. Arthur has a state pension of £8,500. He receives net bank interest of £8,880 and dividends of £4,500. Our requirement here is to show Arthur's age allowances for the tax year. We start by arriving at Arthur's net income. This is made up of his pension income of £8,500 with the grossed up bank interest of £11,100 and the grossed-up dividend income of £5,000. Arthur's net income is £24,600. Here, Arthur's net income and adjusted net income will be the same, as he has not made any gift aid donations or personal pension contributions. Arthur is aged 73, so he is entitled to an age allowance for those aged between 65 and 75. For 2010-11, this is £9,490. However, as Arthur's income exceeds the abatement threshold of £22,900, these allowances will be restricted. We do this by applying the formula 1/2 of adjusted net income minus £22,900. Arthur's adjusted net income exceeds the abatement threshold by £1,700, so we restrict his allowances by half of £1,700, i.e. by £850. So the personal age allowance given to Arthur will be £8,640. This £8,640 will be deducted from Arthur's net income to arrive at taxable income in the normal way. From 2010-11, a taxpayer aged 65 or over with adjusted net income of over £100,000 will have the normal personal allowance restricted or withdrawn in the same way as a taxpayer aged under 65.
Let us now move on and take a look at marriage allowances.
A married couple's allowance of £6,965 in 2010-11 is only available if either of the parties to the marriage, that is, either of the two spouses, was born before the 6th of April 1935. Since the 5th of December 2005, civil partners in a civil partnership, for example, an unmarried couple or single-sex couple, formed under the Civil Partnerships Act of 2004, have similar rights to married couples in respect of the married couple's allowance. One of the couple still must have been born before April 1935 to obtain the relief. The most important thing to note about marriage allowances is they are not given in the same way as normal personal allowances, i.e. we do not deduct married couples' allowances from net income to arrive at taxable income. Instead, married couples' allowances are what we call tax reducers, and tax relief is given on these allowances at a flat rate of 10%. Therefore, where a taxpayer is entitled to a married couple's allowance, we multiply the allowance of £6,965 by 10% to give us £696, and we reduce his tax liability by that same amount. This is why the relief is called a tax reducer. It reduces the tax liability in the bottom half of our income tax computation. Another important thing to note about marriage allowances is that for all marriages entered into before the 5th of December 2005, the tax reducer is given to the husband in the first instance. It is therefore generally the husband who is entitled to claim the married couple's allowance. If the husband is unable to utilise his full tax reducer in respect of the married couple's allowance, he can transfer the excess to his wife at the end of the year. For later marriages and civil partnerships, the MCA initially goes to the member of the couple with the highest total income for the year. Where both couples have the same income in any one year, the couple must elect which of the two is entitled to the relief. Again, it is possible to transfer relief to the other member of the couple if required. Finally, couples married before the 5th of December 2005 may make a joint, irrevocable election for their entitlement to married couples allowance to be determined under these new rules. The election must be made before the start of the first tax year in which it is to have effect. Returning to the previous example of Arthur, Arthur is married to Betty, and Betty is aged 77. Betty's total income is £7,000. We need to work out the allowances and tax reducers available to Arthur and Betty. Let us start with Arthur. Arthur is 73, and in the previous example we gave Arthur a personal age allowance of £8,640. This was restricted because his net income was above the threshold of £22,900. Let us now turn our attention to Betty. Betty is aged 77, so she is entitled to the higher level of personal age allowance, which for 2010-11 is £9,640. Betty's personal age allowance is not subject to any restriction because her total income is less than £22,900. Both Arthur and Betty will deduct their personal age allowances from their net income in their own income tax computations.
Finally, because Arthur and Betty are married, and either one was born before the 6th of April 1935, Arthur can claim a married couple's age allowance.
But remember that we do not deduct the £6,965 from Arthur's total income. Instead, we multiply the £6,965 by 10%, giving us £696, and give this as a tax reducer. As such, having worked out Arthur's tax liability for the year, we then reduce that liability by £696.